Hello, I'm Misha, and this is the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. I've been studying Chinese whilst working full-time in the UK for about 4 years now. I'm currently at a solid intermediate level and can comfortably hold conversations with native speakers. I recently started a blog documenting my efforts of striving towards fluency and also to help other learners who are at the beginning of their studies. As an independent learner based in the UK, the first 2 years of my studies were spent figuring out what I should be doing. So the goal of this podcast and of this blog is to help you speed up that process. Each episode, I'll be interviewing insightful guests who have expertise in learning Mandarin and discuss insights and tips based on my experience. If you like this podcast, then please leave a review and subscribe on imlearningmandarin.com.
Recently, I've been thinking, because I'm at home, and每一个星期两次去校园上班。 那里我周围的人都是中国人，可以跟他们一起吃饭、喝酒等等。我意识到，我目前的情况是理想的。疫情的情况很复杂，而我不知道未来是否会有机会去中国。我就认为，创造一个小中国的语言环境是我想做的事情，不。 是我必须做的事情。这样我才能实现我的梦，让我的中文变得流利。Hello
and welcome back to another episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. The clip that you just heard is basically a short script that I wrote and recorded in Chinese. Anyone who wasn't able to follow the meaning, I basically just outlined a decision that I've recently made to immerse more heavily in Chinese content and create my own immersive environment. Here in the UK, it's kind of uncertain when I'll be able to go and live in China, if that will ever be possible in the future. So I've thought that best not to wait for that and best not to hold out too much hope about when that might be able to happen and to start immersing more heavily now. So I'm hoping to write and record more of these scripts for future episodes as I continue to work on pronunciation and tones. So stay tuned for more of them. On today's episode, I'm going to discuss a topic which I've previously blogged about, and that's graded readers. So for anyone who's not familiar with graded readers are books intended for beginner learners, and they're typically set at different levels according to the number of words used. They often start from as low as 100 words, and they enable Mandarin learners from quite a low level to begin reading extensively and enjoying reading stories and short novels and that kind of thing. My guest today is Jeff Pepper from Imaginate Press. It's a company that he set up himself, which publishes graded readers in Mandarin. His readers cover a diverse range of topics, from novels to classic Chinese philosophy. And I started by asking him how his own experiences of learning Chinese inspired him to start creating his own graded readers.
So happened about 10 years ago. I've spent most of my life in the computer software business. I've started and built a couple of companies. About 10 years ago, one of my software companies, we had some manufacturing that was going on in Shenzhen, near Hong Kong. And I decided to go and visit the factory, because that's what you're supposed to do as a CEO. And I took a couple of lessons from a local Chinese-speaking person here in Pittsburgh, where I live. And you can imagine how little I learned. I think I was able to count to 12. And that was completely worthless. Plus, of course, it turned out that they spoke Cantonese where I went instead of Mandarin. But it was my first exposure to any Asian language at that level of detail. And I thought, this is really cool. I mean, I have a background as a computer programmer. So to me, learning Chinese was like learning an especially difficult programming language. And I thought, well, this is kind of fun. Maybe I'll stick with this. So after I came back from my visit to China, I found the local Chinese school here in Pittsburgh, and I started taking classes on the weekends. And that's sort of how I got started learning the language. The learning process was extremely slow, but I really enjoyed it. What happened, though, and the reason that I got interested in publishing is I found that reading was easier than listening for me personally. And I kind of started gravitating towards the written side of the language. And so I started looking around for very easy graded readers that I could tackle. And what I found was there were graded readers. Again, this is maybe 5 years ago. There were graded readers, but they tended to be aimed at very young children. The assumption being that if you were learning Chinese from the beginning, you were probably 6 years old, right? And so I really wasn't interested in puppies and kittens and dragons. You know, I wanted something that was a more mature theme, but that still had a very, very restricted vocabulary. And I found almost nothing. There's a wonderful little book that I found that actually inspired me. It's called The Herd Boy and the Weaving Maid, New Lug Jinu by Mark Peterson. And that was really the only book I found that I really enjoyed reading. It had a very, very limited vocabulary. So I decided that I would try my hand at writing one of these myself. So I decided to tackle Journey to the West, which is one of the four great novels in Chinese literature. And I decided to just kind of take the first couple of chapters in the book. I didn't feel that I was able to write the book in Chinese at my level of skill. So I went to my former Chinese teacher, Xiaohui Wang, and I asked her if she'd be willing to collaborate with me. And she said, of course, she'd love to. So we worked on it together. I wrote the first draft in English, worked on it for, a couple of months, maybe, never having written a book before. So this was really a new experience for me. And then I gave it to her and she created the Chinese. And then we sat down at a coffee shop, probably 4 or 5 times, going over the entire book word by word, comparing the English to the Chinese, hammering out the differences, obviously there's some things that you could say in Chinese that you cannot say in English and vice versa. So it really wasn't a direct word for word translation by any means, but we kind of banged it out after a while. And then, I figured out all the nuts and bolts of publishing, print on demand publishing, and we got the first book out, and that was about 4 years ago.
Just to take you back to when you first discovered graded readers, because it's something I wrote a blog about recently, that I'm a massive fan of graded readers, this concept in general, because when I first started learning Chinese, I used to ask people who'd reached a certain level of proficiency in reading, like, how did you get from, sort of 100, 200, or just a few characters to being able to read novels? How did you bridge that gap? And very often the answers were unsatisfactory. And then I discovered graded readers and they were really helpful, because for the first time I could actually read an entire book and feel I'd achieved something, and feel that reading characters, reading entire sentences and stories with characters was something that's possible. So thinking about that time when you were in that situation yourself, did anybody else tell you about the concept of graded readers, or did you just go out and find this for yourself?
I just found it for myself. The class that I was taking was using a standard textbook. And as you say, Misha, it's one thing to say, oh boy, I can read 2 sentences out of a textbook, or I can read a whole paragraph out of a textbook. They have these little reading comprehension things at the end of chapters. Not much of a thrill. But to be able to get through an entire story, whether it's, 10 pages, 100 pages, that's really satisfying.
When should people start reading graded readers? Because this is the question I get sometimes. I mean, it's not from day one, because on day one, you don't know anything. You can't read any characters. So even the simplest graded reader would be too much, wouldn't it? So when would you suggest?
I guess I would disagree. Our easiest book is called 23 Cats, and it only has 100 different words in it. So even on day one, if you know absolutely nothing about Chinese, you should be able to work your way through a graded reader with a vocabulary of 100 words. I mean, it might take you a month to get through it, but I think it's exactly the way to get started.
One thing I'm interested in as well is, we talked about starting. Is there a point when you think people should stop reading graded readers? The one I have in front of me now is, as I say, The Love Triangle, which is 1,200 words. Is there a point at which you would say to people, okay, you've built up a certain solid base here with graded readers, now it's time to start exploring, material intended for native speakers?
Yes, yeah, that's a good question, Misha. In fact, I just listened to one of your other podcasts, and either you or the guest was mentioning that a literate person in China recognizes about 7,000 characters, and reading a newspaper, I think, requires 3,000. So our graded readers go up to about 1,800. So I guess there is a jump between our most difficult graded reader and picking up a daily newspaper. I would say that if you can get through an 1,800 word graded reader, you're in pretty good shape, and you could probably tackle a young adult novel or a newspaper at that point. And keep in mind, by the way, in English, I mean, young adult novels are graded readers, right? They typically have very good plotting, great stories, but limited vocabulary, and they're very, very popular.
I remember when I first read my first graded reader, I found it a slog. But that was because I deliberately kind of chose a book that was way above my level and it was really hard to do. Would you recommend people to do that or to do something that's easy and fun?
No, I think, pick something that's just above your level. If it's too difficult, for one thing, if you're reading one of our books and it's too difficult, you'll end up just looking at the pinyin the whole time, which kind of defeats the purpose. So again, I'm not an expert, but I would say if you can get through a page of a graded reader and only check the pinyin half a dozen times, that's probably the right level.
Am I right that some of your books are about classical Chinese philosophy?
So in fact, our most popular book is not a fiction book at all. It's Tao Te Ching, or sometimes called the Tao Te Ching, going back to the old pronunciation. That was a wonderful project. That probably took close to a year. That involved, reading the original Tao Te Ching, consulting maybe 20 or 30 different reference books, trying to tease out the meaning. And then, of course, I wanted to just I wanted to make a contribution to the literature. I didn't want to just do yet another translation. So I designed this user interface so that somebody can get a feeling for the original Chinese without necessarily having to speak Chinese. So that was quite a challenge. What we ended up doing is designing the book to show the individual characters, the pinyin for each character, the direct word for word translation, which, as you can imagine, is sort of gibberish, some translation notes about what the different words meant at the time and what they mean now, and then a final translation. So it was quite a project, by far the most difficult thing we've ever done. But I'm very, very happy with it, and it's our best-selling book.
When I was looking for graded readers, I found one of the main problems was, first of all, there aren't that many of them out there. There's only a few publishers, and the amount of topics they cover are sort of limited. So, in the future, is one of your plans to kind of, you already cover quite a diverse range of topics from, novels to, as we said, classical philosophy and children's books. So is that something that you're interested in doing for the future, is spreading out as widely as possible to cover different themes?
My business sense is it's better to do one thing really well than do several things poorly. And there are a few companies that specialize in graded readers that have a more contemporary sort of topic area. So I really don't want to do what they do. Some of them are quite good. So I think that our niche is really focusing on the classics and making them accessible to people. It's certainly enjoyable for me because I get to immerse myself in Chinese culture, and these stories have great deal of power to them. So I think the focus is probably going to stay on the classics.
I wonder whether in your personal Chinese learning journey, do you have any particular goals that you want to accomplish for the future?
Misha, I don't have anybody in my life who I can speak Chinese with on a regular basis. So my verbal, my speaking and listening skills are they're sort of on hold. I'll watch a Chinese language movie, or I'll listen to some Chinese pop songs on my iPhone. But really, it's reading and writing at this point that I'm focusing on. I would like to spend a solid block of time in China at some point, and I'd like to, immerse myself in the language and see if I can improve my listening skills. But the last time I was in China, It was a couple of years ago, just before the pandemic. And I remember being in a taxi cab, having absolutely no idea what the cab driver was saying. And obviously, I mean, this was a local dialect, which may give you a bit of an excuse. But it was very frustrating to know here I am, a guy that's been studying Chinese for 7 years, and I can't carry on, cannot carry on a conversation with a cab driver. So I think that, the only way that I know to really, learn to l how to listen and speak is to just listen and speak all day, every day. And I have not had a chance to do that. I've been focusing more on the written language.
Fantastic. Well, I wish you all the best of luck for the future. And once again, thank you very much for coming on today and talking all about all the work that's gone into your graded readers. I recommend all our listeners check out Imaginate Press. That can be checked out on the link in the description at imaginatepress.com. So once again, thank you for joining us today, Jeff.
Great, well, Misha, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
Hey there, thanks for listening to this episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. If you're currently looking to improve your Mandarin speaking skills, you might like to check out my Peak Mandarin newsletter. Run by me and my friend Will Hart, we share exactly what you need to do to become fluent in Chinese based on our experience. Subscribe to the newsletter and we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, Lessons from a Chinese Learning Phenomenon, which tells the story of exactly how Will Hart learned to speak near native level Chinese within a 1.5 year period, how I put his techniques into practice to become fluent myself, and how you can too. To subscribe to the newsletter, you can go to peakmandarin.com or click the link in the description. That's all for now. Until next episode, goodbye.